podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, June 27th, 2020. This is episode 1707. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless. Whether they're working in the office or remotely, visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, all the little doodads and geejaws that infest our lives. And you know, what would we do without them? Right? Am I right? Think about what a difference it's making to have some of this. At least we can stay in touch with family and friends. And of course, Facebook is a little bit under the weather, as they say these days. Unilever, big consumer brand, makers of Ben and Jerry's ice cream, for instance. And what else do they make? They make a number of different, quite a large number of different products. Coca-Cola, you've heard of them. Verizon, perhaps you know the name. You do, if you know any of those names. It's funny, you don't know Unilever, but you would certainly know Unilever's products, Dove soap and Ben and Jerry's, because they advertise a lot. Those soaps, those ice creams, Hellman's, bring out the... You bet you could sing that jingle, right? Sure you can. Q-tips, Suave. We know those names, Coca-Cola, because of advertising. Thank you, by the way, to all our lovely advertisers. All of the above have decided not to be on Facebook, at least for a while. Coca-Cola says from a few months... The others, Verizon and Unilever, say till the end of 2020, till, in other words, after the campaign. Mark Zuckerberg, the owner, he has various titles, but I think owner really is the right one because he owns it pretty much outright, 60% of the voting shares. Mark Zuckerberg has lost $7 billion, they estimate, because of the boycotts. Why are they boycotting Facebook? Well, that's complicated. It's complicated. And by the way, it isn't just Facebook. In most of those cases, Coca-Cola, for instance, I think Unilever, too. They're boycotting all social media. All social media. Why, you might say? Why? Because Facebook, they say, is refusing to crack down on hate speech and misinformation. Facebook, we are in an interesting battle right now. We are really in an interesting time. It's pretty clear, if you're on social media, that it's both wonderful and amazing and valuable and you couldn't live without it, and horrific and a dumpster fire, and oh my God, what are we going to do about it? At the same time. You stay in touch with friends and family on Facebook. For many, not all, Twitter's not as big, but for many, Twitter is a source of news, information, laughs. It's how we keep up with the president, isn't it? I mean, he's been known. What's his maximum tweet day? He keeps setting new records. The guy in January, sent 142 tweets. Wednesday, one day in January, he sent. Now, how much would you pay? In one day, President Trump sent 142 tweets. December 12th, he sent 115 tweets. It's not even a... I think the number's probably higher now. If you look at the chart of tweets, it's going up. So that's, you know, and actually I think you can make a strong case that that is a good way to reach the American people, right? Because if he tweets, even if you're not on Twitter, you hear about it. It's in the news instantly. He makes news that way. So it's a good communication medium. You know, FDR had the radio, his fireside chats. President Trump, DJT, as we're going to call him in years to come, has the tweets. There's also, I mean, there are a lot of other people using both Twitter and Facebook for lots of reasons. I mean, we might know about it, but the horrific video of George Floyd being murdered was first put out on Facebook by a 17-year-old girl. She's 17. She's not going to be able to go to the newspaper and say, hey, here, I got this. Wow, you should see this video. No, she put it up on Facebook, and it took off. So there's some real power in the social media. Twitter and Facebook both have for a long time said, we are all about free speech. And, you know, I don't blame them because what's the alternative? Well, we're just going to decide what goes. I don't know. That's going to be tough. That's a sure way to upset people. And yet the funny thing about Facebook is in a way they do, don't they? Because, well, just think about it. When you are on Facebook, do you see everything the people you follow tweet? Or what do you call it? A Facebook post? what they book? What they face? I don't know what the word is for that. No, you don't. You don't see it all. You see it carefully crafted. We use the term, and I've talked about this before, algorithmically generated. It's an algorithm. It's a computer program that picks. And what is it picking for? It knows. It watches. It watches what you do. And it says, I noticed Leo spent a lot more time on this than that. And so next time, you get a lot more of this than that. And on and on and on. That's what the algorithm does. So Facebook's already, really, if you think about it, they're doing it algorithmically. But look, any computer program is created by a person. Somebody's saying, okay, prioritize that, prioritize this. Or maybe all they're saying is, the simplest thing, which works pretty well. YouTube does this too, by the way. Well, we're gonna optimize for engagement. Our program is going to attempt, its one and only goal is to keep you on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter to get you to look more. Twitter doesn't post everything in the timeline. It only posts algorithmically generated timeline too. You can say on both cases, Facebook and Twitter, hey, can I just see the most recent stuff from my friends in chronological order? You can say that, and it'll stay that way for a little while, but pretty soon it goes back. Next time you're there, back to the algorithmic. So both are really deciding what you should see. You know, maybe they're not deciding it by, oh, Mark agrees with this. No, they're definitely not. They're deciding what keeps you watching. And on YouTube, that has turned out to be not such a good thing. It gets more and more extreme. Any parent who's put their kid down in front of a perfectly innocuous Thomas the Tank Engine video or Phineas and Ferb might be horrified to come back an hour later and see what the kid's watching, because the algorithm auto plays the next video and the next video and the next video and the next video, and it gets more and more weird and extreme, and it doesn't stay the same. That's how YouTube's programmed, to encourage engagement. So they are editorializing. And of course, the president got very upset when Twitter dared to put a little thing saying, you might want to check the facts on this one, or this is inciting in violence. Facebook has said, we'll never do that. Mr. Trump, we'll never do that. Mm-mm, no way. You're safe here. But now Facebook's starting to back down a little bit on the ads, right? Well, they've started putting messages up on ads. This ad encourages violence. They just announced a policy, probably, they say, completely unrelated to the boycott. Of course, I believe that. Completely unrelated to the boycott, that they are going, and nothing to do with that. They're going to start marking just ads, not other posts, but just ads that are hateful or, you know, in any way encouraging violence. Maybe it's nothing to do with $42 million in advertising from Unilever, $6 million from Honda. $947,000 from Birchbox, $22 million from Coca-Cola, $2.8 million from Levi's, $1.6 million from Lululemon, $22 million from Verizon, Eddie Bauer, Patagonia, REI, The North Face. That's who started at North Face. That's a lot of money. Maybe they were a little influenced. I don't know, though. You know, I'm really torn because I wouldn't want an advertiser boycott, for instance, of my show to force me to go down a road. Well, you can't talk about, you know, we don't want you talking about Macs anymore. You can only talk about Windows. That would be bad. Let's take it out of a political context, right? So it's a little less loaded. Leo, you can no longer mention Intel chips. Only Qualcomm. That would be bad. So you don't want this kind of pressure on free speech. But on the other hand, I don't know. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. Facebook is a social network that does great good and great harm at the same time. Same with Twitter. Same with YouTube. At the same time. What do you do? I think what you don't want to do is have the government say, this is what you do, right? We need to say it as users, as consumers. That's probably the best way. What do you think? 8888 Ask Leo. That'd be my vote. And you know what? Honestly, if I had somebody asked me, my friend Jeff Jarvis said, if you were at a dinner party with Mark Zuckerberg and you could tell him one thing and he would do it, what would you tell him? And I would say, Mark, just don't take political ads anymore. No more political ads. Take ads from Coca-Cola. Just no more political ads. That'd help. We know that a large number of people get their news from social media now, so it's very powerful. 8888 Ask Leo, that's the phone number. Website techguylabs.com. That's free, no sign up. That's where we put everything we talk about. We will also have the chat room open. It is now open. I declare it open. It's never been closed for 26 years. But it's now open at irc.twit.tv. And anything else I need to tell you? No, I think that's it. Make sure you call so we can get you on the air. I think females are strong as heck. And here she is, the unbreakable, strong as heck, Kimmy Schaffer, our phone angel. Hello, Kimmy.
Hello.
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 Hello, how are you?
Good.
How's life yeah. in the big city?
Well, I went to the big city again last night.
And what was that like?
I'm just hanging out in Golden Gate Park skating in the fresh
air. How cute is that?
Yeah, there's a guy who's been, he's the godfather of skate. And he's been putting on skates in Golden Gate Park for probably 30 plus years. And he's doing a Friday night skate, and it's just a way to kind of get out and... We're all wearing masks. Now, if we would have done this 6 months ago, they would have probably arrested us for looking like bandits. A bunch of hooligans. But, yeah, it's just fun.
Well, I sound so cool. Do you wear... Are you now... I imagine the godfather of skating Golden Gate Park is probably wearing metal wheels with a skate key. Are you wearing rollerblades or do you wear the four-wheel variety?
I am on rollerblades. Okay. He is on the quads or whatever they call them.
Quads.
But they're not metal with a skate key. however, his wheels light up, which is super Ooh. Cool when it's starting to get dark.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so that's kind of becoming the only time I get out all week is Friday nights and going into the city. And other than that, I used your starter and made bread. So
you did?
Time. Yeah.
And you're keeping it alive? It's staying alive?
Yeah, I keep it in the fridge because I'm not baking every day. But I finally found some bread flour.
And was it delicious?
It was delicious. Nice. It looked a little weird. I got to work on that part, the aesthetic.
Yeah, that's hard. That's the hard part.
But it was pretty delicious.
Nice.
Yes.
Wow,
so thank you again.
Wonderful. I'm so glad.
And if you ever decide to take up your hobby again, I put mine in the freezer.
Mine's in the deep freeze.
You said you killed it, so I was
Well, I had two. One was out and one was in the freezer, so I always have one. But yes, I could... Actually, you know, that's right. It's like a cutting. I could take it back from you. You give me a little bit, and a little dab will do you.
And I actually took some of the part you scoop off every time you feed it again.
The waste.
And I put that in the freezer so that I have some backup too, in case I kill this.
That's right. Always have some. Who should I... Enough sourdough talk.
How about Bonnie in L.A., who has a question that is going to pertain to a lot of people after the news of this week.
Good. That is, by the way, that's going to be my new show, Sourdough Talk, coming soon to a radio near you. Bonnie in L.A. Hello, Bonnie. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Very, very long time listener.
Thank you.
Lapsed recently, but I'm back. And I have some sourdough about Microsoft.
You know, there's so many ways Microsoft could make you sour.
Yeah, well.
What's the latest?
The latest is they closed their stores.
Yes.
Now, normally, most people probably could care less about the stores. That's why they closed them, I guess. But they had enticed me to buy the Microsoft Azure plan, which is intended to allow you to go into the store with your computer or computers, and they will question and sort things out.
There's nowhere to go. You'd be going to a hole in the wall at the mall.
Right.
They say we are not going to let go of any of our retail members. They're going to be able to stick around, and they will continue to provide that same service at Microsoft.com.
I almost swore. I forgot about the radio. That can't be done.
Yeah, because you want one-on-one.
I want them to see my computer.
I know.
And see what's going on. And one of the big problems I have is they also enticed me to convert to OneDrive, which I didn't have before. So now my entire structure
You still can use OneDrive without being able to go into the store, but I understand.
Everything is mixed up on it now, and it overloads my laptop has an early version of a SSD drive, like 250 gigabytes or something.
I'll let you get that call because I got only a minute, but I'll just tell you, I completely share your upset and pain. Microsoft's going to take a $450 million loss by closing all 86 stores. That's it. They closed them for COVID, and they're not going to reopen them. They're done. Because, if you ever went in there, that was the nice thing. You got a lot of attention because there was nobody there except those people in the store. So I think they will make this good on you. I think you have a very legit complaint, and I would call them and say, dude, I paid for one-to-one support, not website support, not phone support. I could have gotten that. I paid for being able to go into the store for support. What are you going to do? And I think they should just refund it. They have not announced a policy, but I think onesie Tuesday, they should absolutely refund it. Let me know what happens, and I will ask my Microsoft contacts because I think they ought to do you a little better than that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, one of our chatters, the great Lou M.M., has even given classes in the Microsoft store. I'll tell you what's hip. It's this guy right here, this cat, man. Scott Wilkinson, home theater hipster. He's a contributor at TechHive.com, joins us every week on the Tech Guy Show to talk about home theater. That's nice screens, big screens, thin screens. That's all the different new technologies. Everybody's all excited. We had talked to Scott about, and we saw at CES, the very last trade show I'll ever go to, in January, probably. We saw those really exciting new, what are they called, mini LEDs?
Micro-LEDs.
Micro-LEDs.
Yes, LED video walls, basically.
And now I'm hearing a lot of talk, especially from computer makers, including Apple, that the next generation computers and maybe even phones from them will be using... And this is why I'm confused, not micro LED, but mini LED.
Well, I seriously doubt that a phone would use mini LED because it's so small to begin with. I mean, it could use micro LED, I suppose.
It's not the same because micro LED is direct view, right?
Correct. LED is you've got a red, green, and blue, literally microscopic LED, a bunch of them. and they emit light directly.
They're
and
you so see small. That light. They're pixel sized.
Exactly.
You know, so that's how small. But mini LED is really about the backlight.
The backlight, right. We were talking about this last week, I think. The backlight on an LCD TV consists of LEDs. And they make light, and that light passes through an LCD layer, which then has red, green, and blue color filters, which make the red, green, and blue that combine to see the full color picture that you see. The question is, how large are those LEDs behind the LCD panel? The larger they are, the less precise the dimming, the local dimming can be, which is if you have a scene with a bright image, with a bright object and then some dark stuff, say a star in the middle of a black space field or something like that. The star will be bright and the space field should be dark. And that's the way it should look. And with local dimmings, this thing called local dimming, you can dim the LEDs behind the dark part of the image and brighten the LEDs behind the bright part of the image and increase that contrast, which makes it look much better. The problem is if those LEDs are big, then they can only dim and brighten in large chunks.
Blobs. Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So the smaller those LEDs are, the smaller the zones can be that brighten or dim independently. And so you get a much more precise and greater contrast between the bright parts and the dark parts.
So Apple right now uses OLED for its high-end iPhones and just plain old LED for its less expensive iPhones. But there's no, you're correct, there's no rumor they're going to go to mini LED for the phones, just for the iPads and the computers, the laptops
that
and stuff.
That makes some sense.
Why not
that
a phone, though? Why not a phone?
Well, again, because a phone is what? Only a few inches across, right?
Yeah.
And so
it doesn't
even
really
mini LED. It doesn't really matter. You know, you're not going to, I mean, you do watch movies. Some people watch movies on their phone. I don't.
Right.
I have to tell you this. The youngsters today.
The kids will do it. The utes.
They watch movies on their phone. And do they care about, you know, ultimate picture quality? I don't know. Maybe.
Not if they're watching on the phone. You're right.
Not if they're watching on the phone to begin with. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
The rumor, of course, is Apple will be building plants. They'll be, you know, they're going to go, if they go all in on a technology, you know, as right. we know, they can then control it and maybe put it in everything just because they're making them. Right.
But then there's this ongoing rumor about whether Apple's going to actually make a television.
That's dead.
Been going on for
years.
Yeah,
we can give up
dead?
On that. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not going to happen.
Somebody got the wrong idea, and I won't name names. There was one guy promoted a little too much.
But monitors, computer monitors, laptop screens, that kind of thing, that could benefit from mini LED. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I didn't mean to hijack your segment. Talk about whatever you want, but this was in the news lately, and you know, I'm just curious what you thought of that. So
sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And
I'm
also confused between what we saw at the late lamented CES. By the way, they say they're doing it next year.
They say they're going to do it next year. Am I going? No way. In fact, I did a survey online. They sent me, they said, would you do a quick survey? So I did. And they said, how many times have you been to CES? And I said, like 30 times. They said, do you plan to go this year, next year? I said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
They said, why not? Because I don't want to get exposed to the virus.
Yeah. It seems a little odd, you know, but this is kind of the way it is. Oh, yeah. But it'll be over by August. Not August. Okay. It'll be over by September. Oh, you know, it's going to be over by January. They're just kind of pushing it down the road. That's all.
Yeah. Kicking the can.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in the little time I have left, I wanted to quickly mention that I got a letter from a guy named Bob who has a preamp processor in his home theater. It's an old one. It's by Lexicon, which is a great brand, called the MC12. I believe it's a 7.1 processor, which means he has a separate power amp. Well, his Lexicon MC12 has died.
Aww.
And he said, yeah, well, you know, it's from 2007 or 2006. So he said, what should I get? What's a good one in the $4,000 to $7,000 range? Because that was an expensive processor. Now, there are several options in that range. In particular, I would recommend if he is going to spend that kind of money to get a Marantz AV8805, I believe, is the is the model number of that one. And that's like $4,500. But the problem is we are in the transition to the next version of HDMI. HDMI is the connection that most people use in for video and a lot for audio. We're currently at HDMI 2.0, but we're in the transition to HDMI 2.1, which at least triples, more than triples, the bandwidth, the amount of data that can flow in an HDMI cable. And these very expensive preamp processors don't have it yet. They're going to have it, I would say, within the next year. The Denon 2020 receivers, some of them, have HDMI 2.1. But there's only one input on those. And so if you have an Xbox X and a PS5, you've got two HDMI 2.1 sources, but you can't plug them both into the receiver because there's only one input that accepts that high bandwidth. Plus the fact that preamp processors lag behind receivers, generally speaking. So while AV receivers are going to get HDMI 2.1 over the next year or so, preamp processors are going to lag behind. So do you really want to spend $4,500 or $5,000 or $7,000 on something that in a year or two you're going to want to replace again? I don't think so. At least I wouldn't. So my recommendation is to spend a lot less. There's one model that I really like from this company, Outlaw Audio, which is online only. And they have the model 976. And it's a 7.2 preamp processor for $1,000. It's got HDMI 2.0, but you can't get a processor with 2.1. So I would recommend, you know, spend $1,000 now. Get the 976. Use it for a couple of years. It has the same capabilities as your Lexicon, more or less. Sounds great. They've focused on audio quality. I know this for a fact. It doesn't have automatic room correction. You have to use a separate system called Room EQ Wizard on a PC. But it's set up to work with that. So I would say spend less money now and save your money for when a really high-end preamp processor comes out with HDMI 2.1 on multiple inputs. And that's my recommendation.
I have no idea what you were talking about for the last 5 minutes, but I'm sure he feels better. Sean, is that something I should use with my iPhone? Leo Laporte. That's called high-end home theater. That Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure it made him happy.
I had to go faster.
It's just, you know, I don't know how many people own such exotica.
Well, it is pretty high end. I agree. Yeah. I'll focus on something more mainstream next time.
No problem. So it's your show. You do whatever you want. I'm going to go get some water.
Okay, go get some water. Hey, everybody. Nice to see you all, as always. Let's see. Dr. Mom Grandma says, in my opinion, we'll be in some form of modified quarantine until at least the end of next summer. Mask wearing, social distancing. I agree. You know, for all the talk of, oh, we're going to get a vaccine before the end of the year, I doubt it. I mean, I'm not a doctor. What do I know? But I do know, I listen to people who are doctors, and they say, you know, rushing a vaccine into production before it's been fully tried. I heard one doctor on the radio the other day say, even if we have a test with 20 or 30,000 people, that's not enough to really know that a vaccine is going to be safe and effective in the larger scheme of things. So I'm not going to CES. I'm sorry, CES. I will miss you. I like going to CES. So many of my colleagues, you know, go, oh, CES, I hate Vegas. And they don't go, or they go because they have to, but they don't like it. I like it. Vegas is so surreal that I find it just amazing and interesting. I mean, I wouldn't want to live there, but going once a year or twice a year for NAB, NAB wasn't this year either, probably won't be next year either. But, you know, I enjoy it just for the weirdness of it. That's all I can say. the Sue the writer. Wow, I haven't seen you in a long time. Hey, Sue. I don't see Vegas opening up for conventions that quickly after this week, and we really need it here. Yeah, you're right about that. By the way, the Sue the writer lives in Vegas, or used to anyway, as I recall, and Vegas opened up, but now what's happening? I haven't seen any news about whether they sort of started closing back up again or not. We do know that some other states have you know, sort of stopped, you know, closed down the bars because that's really where this new spike came from. Oh, the Tan Danner, good name, says the buffets are back open, but the waiters bring you the food. Yeah, that's not a buffet. That's a 3D menu, Twisted Mister says. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's all a big question. Hey, Loquacious, always good to see you. Mr. Quest, good to see you, too. Where is Web0333? Are you in here? I have to see, because that is a special person to me. Yep, Web0333 is here. That's my sister. She's in the chat room today, so I'm really, really happy to see that she's in here today. Twisted Mister, what about Anthem, who has supposedly upgradable interface cards? Yes, see, I didn't have enough time to talk about this all. I'm not sure if it's Anthem. I'll have to go do some more research, but at least a couple of big high-end preamp processor companies do have upgradable cards. I think NAD does. So you could buy one of those and then get a 2.1 HDMI 2.1 upgrade card. That is another possibility. The Sue the writer says, still here. Now we have mandatory masks, and there's a fine if you don't wear one. Good. There's my sister, the dude.
Awesome. Thank you, Scott. Stick around for the top.
You betcha.
Thank you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo the phone number. Apple did an amazing thing. I think we had the biggest, most important Apple event in decades. Seriously. Maybe a decade since the introduction of the iPad. It's been that long. Maybe more. I'm going to say more. And I'll talk about that next hour. Apple's making some big changes in the Macintosh line, but it will affect everything. We'll get to that top of the next hour. First, though, let's go to Paul in Columbus, Ohio, our next caller. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Hanging in there. We keep hanging.
Don't let go. When I was a kid, there was a poster of a little kitten hanging on a string and said, "Hang in there, baby." It was the poster, that and Farrah Fawcett, yeah. You know, and you had this complete set if you had both. What can I do for you, Paul?
Last week or so, we were talking about the Aftershocks headsets because of the ambient, being able to hear the ambient sounds, which is what I need because I walk with them and listen to a navigation program or whatever with my guide dog. Anyway, got a new set of the Aftershocks Air, or Tech Air, sometimes they're called. Mm-hmm. And the sound quality, and they're very lightweight, very easy to wear. I have them on for a while, don't even know I have them on. And the sound quality I'm hearing is fine.
Yeah, not great. I think I said that. Not great, but good enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what I'm finding is when I've been on several Zoom calls and a couple of phone calls, after about 10 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes, something like that, I'm told that the sound drops, starts clicking, the lows drop out, and then it gets garbled.
Oh. Yep, yeah. You know, this is a Bluetooth problem, but I have never had that happen. So it might be a Bluetooth issue that's specific to that model. It might be worth exchanging them.
Well, I just contacted them like 2 days after having them a month, but I did send in a request. I'm going to turn them on right now and see if you can hear it.
Yeah. And you're using it with, what kind of phone are you using it with?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. And I should point out, The other negative on the aftershocks, if there is a negative, is that the voice on the phone calls is a little thin, right?
Yes, yeah. Can be. But this is, I mean, when I started off, and I'd had these on for a bit, and I turned off before he just picked me up, turned them off. But now that I've got them back on, but one of my friends, I've got a couple of friends that later, after I again bought them, that said they were having the same issue. Anyway,
what kind of phone are you pairing it to?
Oh yes, it's an iPhone 11.
Okay. So I use them mostly, actually, I use them with computers because I tend to use them on conference calls, Zoom and Google Meet and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't know if I use them, actually, I do use them with my iPad because I wear them. I have a fitness instructor FaceTime me a couple times a week to do workouts.
Right.
And I'll wear those because they're perfect for working out while she's, yep. And so she's on the iPad so she can see me and I can see her. And she's not reported any of that. And that's after an hour. That's an hour straight. So now I don't have I have the original Airs, I think. I don't think I have the Air Tech. I'm not sure which model I have. It sounds, now, first of all, Bluetooth notoriously problematic, right?
Right.
People who bought the new Google Pixel Buds are for the most part sending them back because, for some reason, when you go out jogging, when you're moving a little bit, they drop like crazy. They just drop out.
Uh-huh.
And no, Google has not been able to fix that, as far as I can tell. I have not heard of any of these problems with aftershocks, but it sounds like you have other people who have reported it. Are you holding the phone, or are you getting more distant from it?
No, the phone is in my, front pants pocket.
Okay, so it's not moving around or anything.
No.
You know,
now I've had it on for a while and you're not hearing anything.
No. When it gets garbled, is it completely unintelligible or is it just weird?
Well, it starts off weird and to the point where I've actually just gone back to the microphone.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
People were complaining about it.
Yeah. Well, but it's certainly worth a call to aftershocks because who knows, maybe they have a firmware update or maybe this is a known.
It might be a
known problem. I have not had that happen. And I'm trying to think what could cause that.
It reminds me of that USB headset.
That was a chipset that had a memory leak, and after exactly 1 hour, it would start sounding garbled.
Right.
It could be something like that. It sounds more likely that what's happened is it's lost the Bluetooth signal and rejoined incorrectly or something like that. So,
I'll hope to hear from them because I did send them an email, and it's been a couple of days that they are probably short-staffed at this point.
Oh, gosh, yeah. But, persist with them. And if you don't get any satisfaction, email me, too, because they used to be a sponsor, and I still have some contacts over there. And I'm a big fan, and so I want to make sure. They have a newer model that I don't have. I have the original. I can't remember what the new one's called.
I can't remember the newest one, but I looked at that one, too, and I had other
same complaint.
Said, not exactly, but they had a problem with that one, too. So this one seemed to be the one that people prefer because it seemed to be most stable.
Aeropex. That's what the new
Aeropex
one is. Aeropex, yeah. Huh. Well, I haven't experienced, as I said, I've been very happy. I have a few friends who have these and quite a few listeners because we did advertise them for a while last year. I think that I got to say, Bluetooth is terrible. It really is terrible.
It can be a problem.
And I'm just waiting for somebody to fix these problems. But so you sound fine. I have to say, remember that the microphone is on your ear, over your ear.
Yeah.
It's not.
Right.
It's not by your mouth, and so you're going to get more weird phasing effects. You might. I'm trying to think. For instance, right when you're talking right now, every once in a while the quality gets better and then it gets worse, and I'm wondering if the iPhone is shifting back and forth from the phone to the headsets or something like that.
Well, I don't hear it do anything like that. I don't hear any switching going on here.
Yeah,
but,
just for the microphone. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I you know.
Well, I was going to say that the iPhone 11 Bluetooth is a whole heck of a lot better than the 6 Plus was.
Yeah.
The distance is better. The quality is better. I had an old pair of Aftershocks, which wasn't titanium. It was one before the titanium version. And I liked the audio, and they weren't nearly as comfortable. But it had the old Bluetooth software or firmware so that, when you switch to a phone call, it sounded like you were on an old...
Yeah, oh, that's true. We've got Bluetooth 4.2 and 5 are much better. Cup one hand over one side of it, of the ear, the right side.
I did the right side.
Yeah, now that's muffled. Now do the other side.
Just by itself? Or?
Yeah, just by itself.
Okay, this is...
So the microphone's on the other side from the one you're cupping.
So it's on the right side then.
Yeah. It sounds like there's some phasing going on, and that would be because it's getting your voice. I was wondering if it had two microphones, which could cause some phasing, but I don't think it does. It sounds like something is going on that's like phasing, and that would be noise cancellation would also do it, and that might also be the culprit. I just don't know, and I haven't had that problem, but I would absolutely hope that Aftershocks would have a response. I'm thinking maybe it's just a bad one, because I haven't had that problem. But if you don't get a satisfaction from them, send me an email, leo@techguylabs.com, and we'll see what we can do about that, because that's not right. Yeah, it sounds like some sort of phasing or noise cancellation is going on. It's not bad. I mean, it's completely tolerable. It's not garbled, so I don't think it's the problem that you were talking about. But I definitely, as you're talking, it's getting more resonant and less resonant, thinner and fatter. Sounds like phasing. Anyway, let's go back to Scott, who is ready and willing and able to help you with your home theater.
Are those how much are those Aftershocks?
They're not cheap. I think they're $150.
Oh, see, if they're that kind of money, I would definitely recommend this earbuds that are
well. Understand, monitors. These are not earbuds.
No,
so these are over the ear. They're bone
they're
conduction.
Over the ear.
Yeah, these are
bone conduction.
Yeah, these are used for workouts, for riding your bike. He's blind, so he doesn't. Right. He needs to hear cars coming up, and
right.
So I wear them when I'm working out, so I can hear people around me.
Right.
So
right,
that's
right,
the
right.
difference. They're not.
Right.
Yeah,
I didn't realize. I forgot that. Right.
Yeah, they're not actually. They're an unusual right. technology that shouldn't affect the microphone.
It shouldn't.
No.
Now, the reason I like the one more, which isn't in-ear, so it wouldn't work for this case, but the phone microphone is on the little neck band.
Yeah, that's true
so
for a lot
right
of in-ear.
Ear.
Yeah, that's true for a lot of in-ear stuff. I don't know. The Air has
the
a neck
phone
band.
Performance.
Actually, it's $120. The Air has a neck band, but I think the mic, based on having him cup it, is right where the... temple
right, where
is.
His ear is.
Yeah, the temple piece.
Or that's, the temple, yeah.
Yeah, that's where the sound's coming from. I haven't had this problem, although maybe it's happening and people aren't telling me, although I would think they would. So, I don't know. Mm. Yeah.
Don't
Bluetooth
know.
Is terrible. Let's just acknowledge that.
Well, yes. And yet, there have been some people in the chat room have said, I don't have too much trouble with it. And I haven't really either. I mean, yes, it's not as good as wired.
Do your calls ever get disconnected? You know, do you just switch back to the phone ever?
No.
Does that to me all the time. Aftershocks particularly, but even the Apple's own. The AirPods are constantly switching back to the phone. So annoying.
See, it's so annoying. I mean, I wear one mores typically, and when I'm out on my walks in the around the neighborhood, I typically use that time to phone people.
Huh.
And
well, good. I gotta get some of these one mores in.
Oh man, these one mores. They're called One More Dual Driver ANC Pro. So they have active noise cancellation, which doesn't work that well. The audio quality is very strange. It's a split personality. It changes radically from when ANC is on versus off.
Yeah.
And the ANC doesn't work that well anyway. But the phone call quality is phenomenal. Phenomenal. So but far better than anything else I've ever tried.
Are these wired or these are Bluetooth?
Wireless. They're Bluetooth.
Huh.
There's this neck band type.
That's the thing, is that the microphone's closer to your mouth, it sounds like.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And I like the fact that the controls are on the neck band and they're physically separated. You can find them by feel.
Right.
You know, it's not like multifunction, tap three times to do this and twice to on the left to do that. You know, that makes a big difference.
Is this the piston fit?
No, it's called the Dual Driver ANC Pro.
Okay.
They make several with a neck band kind of form factor. And this is the newest one. It's $150. It ain't cheap.
Right.
But
oh, yeah. I see the microphone's really because it sticks out, actually. So it's close to your mouth.
My wife and I did some phone calling just to see, and she said, oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
And what I hear back on the earbuds sounds great, too, much better than any of the true wireless little earbuds that I've taken on my walks in the past. So
this also has four mics.
More than that, it's got two mics per earbud for noise canceling, and then a separate mic for phone calls.
Wow.
So it's for phone calling, it's fabulous.
Cool.
I like
it. Might have to get me a pair.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, everybody. Now, Mike Heiss in the chat room, my good friend Mike, checked the Outlaw Model 976 and pointed out, which I didn't have time to mention in the segment, also has balanced output. So those of you who are into high-end, and again, this is high-end stuff we talked about today. I talked about today, and this is also that. Balanced outputs give you better noise rejection, better sound quality from the preamp to the power amp. Now, of course, you need balanced inputs on your power amp, but if you're in the high end, you probably have that. And the other one I was going to mention is the Emotiva MC700. I think it's MC700. Let me look that up real quick. MC700. It's a 7.1 channel pre-pro for $700. So it's less than the Outlaw, but it only has two channels of balanced out, and it only has one subwoofer output. Oh, it doesn't even have two channels of balanced out. Doesn't have any balanced out. It's got one. Oh, that must be AES. That must be a digital audio out. I'm not quite sure. In any event, it's less money, but it's not as capable, I don't think. And Emotiva has the reputation isn't always great. I mean, it's a very good company for budget products, but I've heard a number of complaints about quality control and that sort of thing. So, and I know Outlaw's good. I do know that. I've known Peter Treibman for a long time. He's the head of Outlaw, and he knows what he's doing. So that's how I feel about that. Who was it? Somebody here said, Marsworm says, my subwoofer is over-exaggerating the bass. Any reason why? Well, might be turned up too loud. Try turning it down. That's the first thing to do. How old is it? Might it have developed a fault? I don't know. But if it's just over exaggerating, did it not used to, and then it did? Because then something changed. Did you change anything? There's a lot of questions in implied in there. But that my first suggestion would be just turn the volume down. See if the subwoofer volume, not the overall volume, the subwoofer volume. See if that helps. One Brian says he worked in tech support at Lexicon for many years, supporting pro and consumer audio. It's a great company. Their pro stuff. I mean, I have a Lexicon a reverb unit right there in my rack, and it's a fabulous, fabulous unit. And Lexicon is a great company, although they did have a scandal some years ago when they came out with a Blu-ray player or a UHD Blu-ray player, I forget which. Turned out they just stuck an Oppo in a Lexicon case. Oops. And then somebody took it apart and found out. You know people are going to discover that sort of thing, don't you? Let's see. Beatmaster says, about the preamp versus AV Pro and pros and cons, replacing a preamp update is cheaper than replacing the entire AVR. Good point.
Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, and Apple Silicon. 8888, ask Leo the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Home page is a homepage. When's the last time somebody said a homepage?
My homepage?
It's Tech Guy Labs. Sometimes I channel the 1990s. TechGuyLabs.com. That's the website, a.k.a. my homepage, TechGuyLabs.com. So Apple had its big worldwide developers conference this past week. Of course, all done remotely. Couldn't have it in person as they have in years past, which is great. I have to say, is great. Okay, for some people, yeah, you don't get the one-to-one, the face-to-face with the Apple developers. You don't get the parties. You don't get the on-stage events, you know. Who cares? What you do get is anybody can go. It doesn't cost an arm and a leg. It's free. So it eliminates all that exclusivity. It's all about inclusivity. It's a good thing. And really, Apple, if you want to get people to, you know, this is a problem with Apple in general. It's like a gated community, you know. You got to have some real money to get into the Apple ecosystem, and then they're going to charge you for everything. And, yeah, it's expensive. If you want to be more than the BMW of computers, Apple, you should be more inclusive. They want to be this way, I think. Well, they've got now, you know, lesser-priced iPhones, the SE, which is very good. Lesser-priced iPad, the base model is around $300, sometimes even much less than that. That's good. They need to keep doing that and making your developer conference so that anybody, even some kid in Soweto who has not a penny to his name, of course, you still have to have a Mac, don't you? But it, you know, maybe there's one at school, or maybe he's got a hand-me-down, can get into this. Because there is huge opportunity in that gated community in the App Store and so forth. The big announcement, Apple announced new versions of their Macintosh operating system. It goes to 11 now, by the way. Not OS 10 anymore. It's Mac OS 11. And we found out it is not Mac OS 10 Escondido. Mac OS Escondido. It is Mac OS 11 Big Sur. Big Sur is the code name. But most important, and they announced new iOS versions. By the way, I could do a whole bit on the new iOS 14 because this is also huge. The next version on your iPhone will allow you to do something you've been able to do on Android since practically the beginning, put these informational widgets on screen, and that's a huge improvement. The iPad will get something they call Scribble. We'll see if it's just the Newton warmed over, but the idea that you don't have to put your pencil down anymore. You can write into search fields and you can write everywhere to turn it into text. We'll see. This has been tried before. It's a hard thing to do. Handwriting's pretty bad. But if it can do a good job, and they claim they can because of machine learning, that's the magic ingredient in every recipe these days in the Silicon Valley. But the big announcement that I want to talk about right now, which I think is huge, is Apple is leaving Intel behind. Now, for most of you, that's not going to make a huge difference, I don't think, initially. If you buy a MacBook or an iMac in the coming years, it'll pretty much run the same. They've done this before. They've actually done it twice before. Most recently, they shifted to Intel from their PowerPC chips. They did that in 9 months. They did it very effectively, and it was a good transition. It was the right way to go. But Intel of late has really been dragging its feet. They've been suffering technological problems. They've been buggy. They've been insecure, and they haven't kept up. And I think Apple's probably always wanted to make their own chips. They've certainly had the wherewithal. They make their own chips for the iPhone and the iPad. Well, they design them. Designed in California, made in China, like everything else in China, Apple world.
but or Taiwan or Korea. I think most of their chips are made in Taiwan by TSMC. Anyway, they design them, and they would like to design their chips. I think they put it off for a while because, well, Intel wasn't that bad. But once Intel started to really go downhill, Apple said, all right, that's it. That's it. And this was probably about 3-4 years ago. And they said, we're going to make our own for everything, not just the iPhone, the iPad, but for all future Macintosh computers. Why would they care, right? Mac market share is less than 10%. It's not a big revenue stream for them. Well, they care because they use Macs. All Apple software, most Apple software anyway, for iPhone and iPad, their bread and butter is iPhone, has to be written on Macs. And there is a small, thin layer of high-end users on top of that rich, fat Apple iPhone cake, a small, thin layer of icing that is the pro user. The problem is those pro users are outsizedly influential. They're filmmakers and music makers. They're designers. They launch rocket ships. These pro users, a tiny, tiny group, but Apple wants to keep them happy because it's good for the rest of the brand. It's like if you're Nike, you know, you get LeBron to wear your shoes, you don't have to worry. You know, things are going to go good. So this is, in effect, the LeBron James computer. This is the Air Force One of computers. This is the high end. But it's been a problem for Intel. They've been dragging their feet. So Apple says, look, let's make the whole thing, just like we do with our best-selling iPhones and iPads. Here's a couple of benefits, however. And they just threw this in the announcement. Oh, and by the way, pretty much all iPhone and iPad apps will work just fine on these new Macs. What? Without modification, without emulation, they'll just run because it's the same processor family. They'll just run. So suddenly Macintosh has access to these many millions of apps designed for iPhones and iPads. And the iPad apps will look like Mac apps. They'll have windows, you can move them around, multitasking, they'll do all the things. Whoa, that's interesting. And if the message, of course, is for developers because they got to get developers to come along for the ride. They have to redo their programs to work with the Apple silicon, not the Intel silicon. But, hey, there's a big pot of gold at the end of that rainbow because now you can write one app, it'll run everywhere. iPhone, most popular platform, computing platform, maybe second only to Windows. More than a billion iPhones out there. iPad and Mac. That sounds good. From a developer's point of view, that's interesting. That's exciting. So the big question I get with regard to this is, well, what should I do now? Apple even says, we've got a few more Intel Macs in the pipeline. Oh, interesting. So they're going to release more Intel Macs over the next, a year. They said this transition will be complete in 2 years. That's called under-promising and over-delivering, because I think it's going to be 1 year. In fact, Ming-Chi Kuo, who's one of the big Apple rumor guys, says there'll be a MacBook Pro laptop, a 13-inch this year, running on Apple Silicon, and every Mac next year will run on Apple Silicon. Apple was at pains to say, but we'll support the Intel versions of software and operating systems and hardware. And this is the exact quote, for years to come. Well, that's at least 2 years. It's plural. Is it 10 years? Probably not. Somewhere in between 2 and 10. If you bought an Intel Mac today, you'd be fine. But no, it's going to rapidly look antiquated. It's going to start to be sooner than it would normally. Apple's so good at this, leaving the past in the dust and just go boom into the future. A lot of people worried that the chips Apple will make will not be as powerful as the Intel chips. Don't worry about that. No, I think they'll be much more powerful. The constraints are off. Apple can design these processors they know every bit of what hardware, what operating system, what software is running on it. They can tune it to be perfect for that stuff. So expect great performance. Will it lower prices? No. It could, but it won't, because Apple is not known for lowering prices. But it will make, I think, Apple a very interesting player in computers. It won't be running Intel like everybody else, but it'll be leaving the Intel technology, we call it x86, that's the name for it, behind. And that's going to turn out to be a huge advantage for Apple. So should you buy a Mac? If you can hold off, no. If you have to have one for today, if your laptop dies or, you know, you're adding three people in the, you know, business office and they need Macs, get them. You'll be fine for years to come. Well, 2 years anyway, 3 years. Years to come. But if you're not in a hurry, I'll tell you right now, I am not buying another computer, let alone Mac. I'm not buying another computer until I see what these new Macs look like, until I can buy one of them. Because the promise is through the roof. You know, maybe they won't deliver. It's always possible. That's a hard thing to do that they're proposing. So maybe they won't live up to the promise. That's completely possible. But if I know Apple and I know their pride in the product and I know what they can do with their silicon, because the iPad Pro is really kind of amazing, it actually answers a puzzle. The iPad Pro's been way overpowered. Like, why did you make so, put so much power in that thing? It's just running iPad apps. Now we know. It's a peek into the future. So if you don't have a kid entering college in September, and goodness knows, nowadays, kids going to college or any school, they need computers bad. It'd be fine to buy a laptop for that. And you know what? It'll probably get them through the next 4 years. They won't feel too left behind. But if you can wait till I bet you before kids start heading back to school, we'll see a MacBook Pro 13-inch. That's a perfect school computer for especially college kids. So that's like in the next couple of months, maybe by fall. I'm not sure I'd run out and buy that one. But if the choice is between that and an Intel Mac, I'd definitely get it. And starting next year, new iMacs. I would expect a Mac Pro eventually. And certainly a lot of laptops. It's really laptops benefit because these are low power chips. Better. I mean, 20-hour battery life. Now, how much would you pay? So I think this is a very exciting transition. It's a huge transition for Apple. We'll sit back and watch. I'll certainly report if it works or doesn't work. The action item for you is, if you can, wait to buy a new Mac. Things are going to change. We'll go back to the phones in just a second. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number, techguylabs.com, the website. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, rocking and rolling. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. Line one, Rusty in San Diego. Hi, Rusty.
Hi, Leo. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Rusty?
Just the same. Good and wonderful.
Good and good and good and good. What can I do for you today?
So,
yeah.
Help me with a similar situation.
Yeah.
We're doing a new website, and we want a nice bright orange on there, and the choices we get just aren't nice bright orange.
Yeah. Where are you building the website?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well,
I'm not a techie, Leo. I don't know what.
Okay. So somebody is making a site for you.
Yes.
And there are lots of ways to make a website. You could go to a company, let's say GoDaddy, and they have a site builder tool and you choose from menus and stuff and drag and drop. You could go.
Okay.
That's one way. You could go.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I know what you mean now with your question, but
yeah.
I'm not sure.
How are they making the site? You could go to WordPress, WordPress.com, and they have more advanced tools, more sophisticated but more complicated. You could download WordPress, put it on a server, and then you'd have absolute control. But here's what's going on, and it's a thing called Web Safe Colors.
Okay.
Now, this used to be a big deal because people had limited number of colors. Many monitors could only display 256 different colors. So there was a lot of pressure on websites to only choose from those 256 colors, because if you chose something else, who knew what the user at home was going to see? Now, the good news is that's not true anymore. Most all computers I know of support more than 4 billion different colors. And you could, in theory, use any color at all on the website. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if things like GoDaddy's Site Builder still were pushing you into web-safe colors. And if that's the case, it may be that you don't have many choices of orange. You know, the orange you can use is FF5733 and nothing else. That's a hex code for the orange. So you want to talk to your developer about it. But it is important to understand that even though every computer you're going to be on now, every browser can support really pretty much an infinite array of colors, you kind of don't want to be too crazy with your colors, because you want to make sure that it's going to look roughly the same no matter who's looking at it. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I don't want a wild thing, just a nice bright orange. And
bright might be the problem. Bright. If it's like hunter orange, like the orange vest you would wear when you go out looking for deer, that may be hard to do. Not that it couldn't do it. It could. But they're probably staying away from some of the... You don't get the full Crayola crayon box.
Right.
You get the little one.
It's mostly like a burnt orange. There's
okay.
Nothing that really...
Have you talked to your developer saying, why can't I get this orange?
No. I thought I'd talk to you first.
Yeah. You can... So here's what you should do. You could go and look at WebSafe. You could Google WebSafe colors. Again, we don't have to stick to that anymore. Probably some old tools might still do that. Your developer may be in the mindset, I got to do WebSafe colors. There's a number of places where you can look at them, and you could see if any of those oranges is in there. Go to htmlcolorcodes.com and see if the orange you want's in there. If it is, you can give it to him not as a, you know, a kind of a burnt sienna, but kind of a little bright. You can give him a hexadecimal code, a 6-letter and digit code that is that color exactly. And if you give it to him, he should be able to reproduce it exactly. So that's what you want. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So maybe that'll help you. You know, when you're doing paint and you're at a paint store, they sometimes use what they call Pantone, the Pantone color system. And the reason is you can't describe a color perfectly, right? So they use a number system to say, oh, yeah, it's Pantone 32. And then everybody knows, oh, I know what that color is. So you could use Pantone. I don't know if your developer would understand it. But maybe better if you use just – there's three ways of representing colors for a computer. And they're all related. There's how much red, how much green, how much blue, you know, red, green, blue.
Yes.
The hex number is the same thing, only it's, so that's why it's 6 digits. 2 digits for red, 2 digits for green, 2 digits for blue. And then there's also something called HSL, hue, saturation, and luminance. That's, most people don't work with that anymore, or designers would, but your guy's probably not. So what you want to do is find the RGB value or the hex value for the color you like.
Okay, this is great. This is what I mentioned a few years ago. I wanted this on a business card, and you told me you've got to go to somebody that uses wet ink, those little cakes.
Yeah, that's right.
Aren't going to give you what you wanted.
So it's a little different, because instead of reflected light, which is what a printed thing is, reflecting light, the web page is light coming out of the screen, right? So, but now your designer may be giving you artificial limitations if he says, well, I can't do that color. In theory, he can do any color in the rainbow.
Okay.
There's no longer this web safe limitation. He may have his mindset there. And I would look at the web safe colors and see if there's an orange you can live with in them. They have a number of oranges.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. There's all kinds of
stuff.
This would work.
Yeah. So if you give him, you say, no, no, no. See, the problem is, what are you going to, how are you going to describe it? Well, it's a burnt orange with a little bit. No, no. If you say, no, I want FF6633.
Okay.
He'll go, oh, okay.
You should have said that in the first place.
Yeah, probably so.
You got to talk the talk, man.
Okay, and Leo, you have such a great way of not talking down to people like me. It is so, that's why I call, is because I don't have to get beat up to get an answer.
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't want to beat you up. You're probably bigger than me.
Well, you don't with anybody, and thank you. It is greatly appreciated.
My pleasure. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that.
Have a great day.
Take care, Rusty. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I know he wants orange. You want rusty color, right?
Yeah.
Now I get it.
I already got that.
Are you a redhead? Is that why they call you Rusty?
Yes, when I was young. It's all white now, but it used to be rust colored.
Now I get it. He wants rusty.
Yeah.
All right, Rusty, have a good one. Take
Thanks,
care.
Leo.
My pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. He's going nowhere right now, man. He's Johnny Jett, our travel guy. Still in quarantine. Sorry. Sorry.
Hey, what can you do?
Hey, what can you do? That's right. Right now, today, I would be in Munich if it weren't for COVID-19. But, you know, the funny thing is, I wouldn't have been able to get in.
No.
So it's good we canceled that trip because I would have gotten on the plane and they would have said, get on the plane and go back.
Yeah, well, that's a problem right now. You know, the New York Times is reporting that the EU is going to ban Americans
and
Russians and Brazilians, and a few and some other countries from entering the European Union, and they're opening up July 1st, but Americans are not. So, you know, this whole thing with the face masks, kind of hits home. People think that wearing a face mask takes away their freedom, but in reality,
I don't get that.
By not wearing a face mask, it takes away your freedom because now you can't go to these countries. You can not only not go to certain countries, you can't go to certain states.
You know what really takes away your freedom?
August 1st, but you need to take a test. 72
a ventilator
hours
really takes away your freedom. Wear the darn mask, for crying out loud.
It should not be a political thing, and I just don't get it. I really don't get how, you know, all these doctors say a face mask is the way to go, and there's all these conspiracy theories.
I get email all the time from people say, Leo, how you're so stupid recommending masks. It's like,
I do too.
Sorry.
Listen,
me and Anthony Fauci and the World Health Organization, even the CDC, we all seem to be stupid these days.
And I do think, you know, people say, well, Fauci said don't wear a mask in the beginning. And the reason why he was saying that was because he was trying to protect the healthcare workers.
That was a mistake. That really was. He should have said, and I think we would have been intelligent enough to understand, don't wear masks intended for healthcare. Don't wear N95 masks. Make your own, but homemade cloth masks work.
Right. But I think he's going to end up saying, wear an N95. Wear an N95 in the future. But they're still not telling people that.
Once there are enough of them, yeah.
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 But, you know, a couple things in the news this week besides EU banning Americans. I forgot to mention last
cruise
week.
Lines. What's up with that? They put it off again. They were going to open up next month.
There's no cruising on big ships this year.
I saw.
They say September 1st or September 25th.
No.
They keep pushing a date, but it's not going to happen this year.
Yeah.
At least big cruises. Small cruise ships, possibly. Did your Siri just go off? Mine did too.
No. Did you say something? Oh. Did you say something with an S? Every time
I have no idea. All of a sudden mine went off and I saw you reach for something.
Every time I say seriously, my Siri says, what? What? What?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Also, I didn't mention last week that Cambodia is now charging $3,000 on arrival deposit. And that's to cover your that's to cover COVID-related things. So in case you get sick or if you die, it pays for your funeral. And
holy cow.
Yeah.
They say that
$50,000.
Give us $3,000. We might have to pay for your funeral. Holy cow.
Or and your hospital. So that's why I keep telling people, listen, I want people to travel, but when it's safe, believe me, I haven't been on a plane in months. The longest I've ever been before was 3 weeks. So it's not like I'm trying to I have some kind of conspiracy theory. I want to get on a plane, but where am I going to go? I can't go see my dad.
You can't go anywhere. Yeah. Planes are not are actually much safer than a lot of things you could do, right?
They are. Yeah. They are.
They're better than going to the neighborhood bar.
Well, the bars are, you know, they close the bars today in Texas and Florida.
I know.
You know, the thing is, the planes are safe if people wore a mask and they didn't fly while they're sick. But some people are flying while they're sick, which is a problem. And
whatever happened,
and also the planes are going out full. American and United, by the way, are now booking full, although American was pretty much booking full anyway, so I don't even believe that. But they were blocking seats until the last minute.
So there will be people sitting right next to you, no matter what.
So if you do want to have an empty seat next to you in the middle seat, you want to book JetBlue, Alaska, Delta, or I'm spacing on one more, but there's one more.
So what kind of
Southwest?
What kind of travel can we do? I know Airbnb had its biggest month ever last month because people were saying, "Well, I could book an Airbnb by the beach, and I could stay there, and it would be safe. Move your quarantine."
Yeah, Airbnbs are home rentals are very big. Actually, Expedia just took away the name HomeAway. They're getting away with the name HomeAway now. They're just doing VRBO. So home rentals are huge. You can do exchanges, homeexchanges.com. The guy who did the movie with Cameron Diaz, The Holiday, that's a very popular service. I think it's $99 a year, and you can sign up to exchange houses. Basically, actually, you don't even have to exchange one with the same person. It could just be a variety of people who are traveling. But, you know, hotels right now, actually, Arne Sorensen, the CEO of Marriott, said, you know, the mask is a problem because, you know, what do you do as a corporation? Some people think you shouldn't wear it, but he thinks that everyone should wear it and would actually help the economy.
Are any hotels saying you have to wear a mask or none? None of them are. They're wearing masks.
It all depends on the region, and they're not policing it. But every employee is supposed to be wearing a mask in these chain hotels. But from my friends' reports, they're not. So, and also, you know, most people are, there's supposed to be one family in the elevator. Again, it's hard to police that stuff. So, and that's what's kept me from not traveling because of that.
You know what my vacation is going to be this year? I'm going to take a long walk. Somewhere far away from people, if possible.
And by the way, don't book like my buddy Zach Honig just tweeted about Iceland. Do not buy tickets to Iceland right now.
They won't let you in.
Changing the date.
They won't let you in. They won't let you in.
They won't let you in. But they keep telling you that it's open, and then the fine print says, you know, American passport holders are not allowed right now. So the airlines will take your money. So don't book it until for sure. Make sure you use a credit card that will give you a charge back in case the airline will not give you your refund, which they're supposed to, but not every airline is doing it. Also, people cannot get a hold of Delta right now. Delta is, you know, known as the best run airline in America, but their customer service has just dropped off the cliff. You cannot call them,
you know,
if you're just a regular customer.
I think there is a thing going around. I notice it in me and a lot of everybody I talk to, COVID-19 mush brain. Everybody, all these CSRs are home for Delta, right? And I think people are just kind of loopy. We're loopy.
We're just watching Netflix.
We're just too much Netflix. We're loopy.
So they tell people to get on their app and do the chat, but my buddy just did it yesterday because he's like, I cannot get through. I've been on for hours.
Yeah.
I said, try the app. He said, the app didn't work. They said, call the number. You can also try tweeting them or DMing them. So try those things. And never, if you're ever going to use Twitter to, you know, try and change a reservation, don't put your confirmation number in unless you're doing a private message.
Yeah. Don't take pictures of your tickets either with the barcode. I mean, all of that stuff. People post those on Instagram. No, don't stop it. There's all sorts of stuff in there.
Not just a barcode, your confirmation number or your ticket number at the bottom. You don't want to do that.
No.
So how much time we got?
1 minute.
Okay. So there's an app. I just tweeted it. I'll put it in the chat room right now. So if you do want to get your passport, the passport offices are Connecticut accent just came out, are just opening back up. And there's an app. It's Easy App for $34 or $35. You can do everything from home.
Nice.
You can even take your passport photo with the app.
Nice.
It's highly rated on iOS. Android, not so much.
Easy App. If you talk to the passport office, they still have my son's birth certificate and social security card. Could you get them to give that back? They've had it for 6 months now. We keep calling them. They say, well, there's no one here.
Well, hopefully they will.
Maybe I can get Easy App to get it. Yeah, I think we'll get it. We'll get it when they get to work.
But 6 months is too long.
No, no.
I mean,
yeah,
I got my daughter's passport in February.
They lost it. I know what happened. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, johnnyjet.com. Johnnyjet.com. And Johnny Jet on YouTube. And johnnyjet.com/podcast. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Aaron is on the line. He's our next caller from Los Angeles. Hello, Aaron. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
I can. Thanks for hanging on. Oh, I heard him right up to the point where something. There, you're back. Yeah, it just broke up a little bit.
Okay. Well, I'll be brief. I've got some kids who have an Xbox, and we've been spending a lot of time at home, of course.
Yes.
And they play this game called Fortnite, which is...
I've heard of that. Yeah.
So, anyway, it's a one-player game, and so we have two boys who both like to play, and so we thought, well, maybe we can get a second system for the other one to play on. And so I went and purchased a refurbished Dell desktop, for $150 from a warehouse in New Jersey or something, and it arrived nice and clean, and we put a $40 graphics card in it, and it runs the game great.
Nice.
And, we were playing with a keyboard and mouse as the control as opposed to the Xbox controller, but then we realized that actually, we might be able to hook the Xbox controller up to the computer.
Yes.
And play it that way as well.
You can.
Yeah. So we started by attaching it with a USB cable, wired, and that was working great. And then it dawned on us that we could get a little, wireless adapter from Microsoft.
Yes, you can.
So anyway,
you've really gone down the rabbit hole on this Fortnite thing, all because you wanted the other kid to play too.
Yeah. So, but anyway, long and short of it, after a couple of weeks of enjoying it with the wireless Xbox controller on the PC that we bought, it stopped working. The Xbox controller, no longer controls Fortnite. But the curious thing is, I also downloaded like an Xbox console app on the Windows 10 PC. And the Xbox controller will control that just
fine. Okay.
It's just not working with Fortnite for some reason, and I haven't been able to get through to.
So there's three ways that controller connects. You've tried two, but you haven't tried all three. So there is the USB. There's the native, the wireless connection that you get the dongle for, but it also supports Bluetooth. Yeah. So try with Bluetooth just to see. It is possible that you're running into anti-cheating mechanisms on Fortnite. So did it ever work with Fortnite? It did, right?
It did. And actually, when Fortnite starts up, there is like a little anti-cheat or anti-something, when it flashes sort of the welcome screen. There is something there. So maybe it's a conflict with that or something.
Yeah. So it's a big problem in all online games where some players will attempt to gain an advantage on other players by cheating, either by giving themselves more abilities or using different controllers, that kind of thing. And it may be you're running into that. I don't really know. I mean, it was working. I wouldn't know why Fortnite wouldn't want you to use a Xbox controller instead of a keyboard and mouse.
Right. And like I said, I do have connection because using other apps or whatever, I can
make sure. How old are the kids?
Yeah. The kids are 12 and 10.
Okay. So unlikely, but if they were 14, I would say it's possible that one of them, knowing that, I have Windows now, I could put an aimbot on my game and be unbeatable, might have snuck some cheating software on there. So
I don't know about that.
I don't think a 10-year-old or maybe a 12-year-old, a precocious 12-year-old, certainly a 10-year-old wouldn't do that. So that's what's happening, I think, is Fortnite thinks for some reason. So try the Bluetooth because it may be that the wireless software, the driver software is, causing something, triggering something in Fortnite, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. Really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, have fun. That's a great idea. Keep the kids busy killing other kids in virtual reality, virtual space. They're not, I actually love Fortnite. The problem is there's so many 10 and 12 year olds in there, I can't win. It's what they call a battle royale. 100 players enter, and then only one player survives, and that's the winner. And the way the game works, you get flown in. You all get flown in a bus, and you parachute out of the bus onto an island. And as you wander the island, you find all kinds of crazy weapons, right? And the idea is if you run into somebody, you kill them before they kill you. Kill is such a harsh word. Wax, frag, destroy. I mean, you get points for shooting them in the head. So it's violent. It's violent. It's a violent game, but it's a game. You know, it's even a little cartoony. You're running around, and then the area shrinks periodically. Every few minutes, it gets smaller because otherwise you'd keep running around the island forever. Somebody would just hide in a tree, and you'd never find it. So it shrinks to force you all into a smaller and smaller area. And usually it's about half an hour. My problem is I'll get in there. I'll jump out of the bus. It's all fine. I'll fly down on land, find myself a gun, and then somebody just shoots me. Boom, and it's over. Like I'm always the first one to go. Always. The only good thing about Fortnite is if you do, if you're, how can I make this nonviolent? If your player is eliminated, that sounds pretty bad too. If your character is eliminated early on, you get to now continue to watch the game. First as the person who eliminated you, and then as the person who eliminates them, and on. So you can watch increasingly better players play, and it's kind of fun that way. It's actually... it's interesting because all of these esports, these online games, really want, especially now, want to take over for baseball, football, soccer, hockey, you know, and basketball. They want to be the next big money thing. They call it esports. And so I think a lot of games, multiplayer games now, are designed to be watchable as much as playable. Fortnite's a good example. It really is kind of fun to watch. And it's hard to play. So it's fun to watch good players play it. And it, as a result, it's done very well on the streaming systems where you can watch it. when you describe the game, it sounds horrific, honestly. It sounds terrible. And it's just a game. Mom and Dad, it's just a game. It doesn't make people violent. It's just a game. Keeps the kids out of your hair. Robert, Portsmouth, Virginia. Hi, Robert.
Holy cow. Hold on just a second. Let me take you off.
Holy moly. Heavens to Murgatroyd.
I tell you what, I am a longtime fan. Remember when Sci-Fi Channel was Wired or something like that? And yeah. You had a TV show?
Yeah, ZDTV. Yeah, Tech TV. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Tech TV.
Tech
man.
TV.
I love
yeah.
it.
Well, thank you.
Back so far, I used to have a Timex home computer I programmed on.
That was a great computer. Some of the best started on that. Did you have a cassette? Did you have a cassette storage?
You have a what?
Cassette to store the...
I had the cassette, and before the cassette, there was a big like chunk of plastic that was about 4x4 that plugged in.
Yes.
And if you didn't put paper under it at just the right level, if you click the keyboard, it would fall out, and you'd lose all your program.
Oh, man, those were the days. Hey, can you hang on? Because I do have to break for news at the top of the hour, but I do want to talk to you about drones. I love the subject. Yeah, just hang on for just a little bit. It's good to talk about the good old days. The good old days. We're going to take a break. News at the top of the hour, and then we will come back. Another hour to come. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, a lot of people, that Timex, a lot of people, the Timex and its brother in Britain was the kind of the start for a lot of very famous people computing. That was how we got into it. Yeah, Robert, you were a pioneer.
Yeah, and then I found girls and lost it. I had a scholarship to a place called Tennessee Tech.
Yeah,
and didn't go. Joined the Marine Corps. They were one of the first colleges to have a 2-year degree in computer science.
Oh man. The road not taken, Robert.
I don't mind. I've been married 30 years now, so I'm very happy.
You know, I always think that, you know, there are all these roads, all of us, not taken. But you wouldn't be here without the road you took, and isn't that great? So you did the right thing, obviously.
Hey, you're exactly right. Yep. You're exactly right. I've got two beautiful kids and wife. And
that's nice.
Anyway, my point is that I was calling because I have a son that has actually taken the classes to become certified as a drone pilot, you know, licensed through the FAA.
Oh, that's awesome.
What he wants to do is his career path.
Awesome.
And, sad part is the COVID thing. We all know they're not doing any testing, so he can't get
drag.
His money, so he's kind of on career hold. Hustling pizzas for one of the local pizza places. Don't want to say the name because, you know, I don't want you to advertise don't want to.
I'm glad he's working. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's considered essential because people got to get their pizza at home.
That is essential. Hell, yeah. Okay, that's good. You know, my daughter's working at Trader Joe's. Same thing, right? You know, she got out of college, got a degree, but, you know, nobody's working. So she's happy to be working at Trader Joe's. And you know what? Truth is, she loves it. So there you go.
That's the sad part is he says, I love the job.
It's fun.
But it's no career. Yeah. That's the sad part.
Yeah. But it's, you know, I worked at McDonald's when I got out of school. It's, you do what you do, but it all leads up to something, right?
Exactly.
He'll be able to do drones. And you know what? This is a good time to have that skill. I think it's going to be a great skill.
Oh, and I keep encouraging him because here locally where I live, Portsmouth, Virginia, I'm not far away, maybe 15, 20 miles at the most. They're building a huge Amazon warehouse. So I'm assuming they're probably going to do drone delivery out
Absolutely.
Of there,
yeah.
out of every Amazon warehouse.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, the issue we've got is, we bought a little $150 drone. It was fine for a while. We knew it wasn't anything perfect, but it gave him, you know, along with the video game skills, the hand-eye coordination.
Right.
Well, now he's ready to move up to the next level drone. But my issue is I've seen a lot of DJI, I believe it is, where they may or may not be allowed to be sold in America for different issues. And I just don't know where to go or which one would be safe to buy.
Pretty much every drone you're looking at is made in China. So... DJI makes the best. In fact, I got my son because he graduated with a degree in broadcast journalism and video, and he needed a drone to do. In fact, he just used the drone I got him for. He did a shoot at a winery, and they wanted a big glorious drone shot. And this is a great drone. It's not cheap. It's a little more than the $150. But the Mavic,
we figured we probably wind up spending about $500.
That's
more.
Right. It starts at $400. You probably want to get the insurance kit. You know, they call it the refurb. So if it goes in the water, something goes wrong, they fix it. I think that's another $100. It's the DJI Mavic Mini. This is what I got, Henry. It folds up, which is great. He got it for he took it traveling with him.
If Maverick is an Mavic or
Mavic.
Okay.
And the nice thing about using a DJI, they're not going to get banned, by the way. There's no way they're going to get banned. That's part of the trade war going on. I don't think that's serious in the long run. It would kill the drone business. They own the drone business. And the nice thing about it is because they own the drone business, he's going to learn skills that if he then works with the more lot of DJIs, the high-end DJIs using filmmaking, all sorts of stuff. So the skills he gets with the Mavic Mini are very, very useful. It's a very smart drone.
Okay, yeah, because that's what he was looking at. He was like, well, if I can't get, say this goes on for a while and, I'm into the year, I'm still not able to get going in my career, how can I use this to start my own little gig?
Shoot stuff. Realtors, every realtor who's selling a house now wants a drone shot. There's lots of places you can sell drone shots.
Okay. All right.
It's a good camera. It's 1080p, 60 frames. So it's high def.
Deal with specifically you can recommend? Because I know, with today's, issues with customer service and all that. Anybody you would recommend?
Apple sells them and Amazon sells them. But, if you get from Apple, you're going to get the best customer service.
Okay.
So I would look at it. I would go to the Apple store maybe.
And is it harder? You mentioned Apple. We are Android and
doesn't matter.
Chrome and all
doesn't
that
matter.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
You can still. But the nice thing is Apple's going to stand by it, right? You don't have to use Apple stuff. It's just a good vendor to get it from.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe their insurance was better than...
It's $400 everywhere. I bought it on Amazon because I just... Everything I buy on Amazon, but...
Me too. I've got Prime. I'm addicted.
Yeah, I can't help it. But, you know, there's always a little risk when you buy stuff on Amazon. You should see who's selling it because often it's not Amazon directly. And so, you know, you...
Yeah, even with Prime, people are surprised. I thought if you ordered through Prime,
Yeah, so you should see. It'll say fulfilled by Amazon, but sold by, and you want to see who it's sold by to see if they're good. Okay. Yeah, like this one I'm looking at, it's... Let's see, who's it sold by? And sometimes it's hard to even... Yeah, ships from and sold by Amazon. So if you do that, Amazon's pretty good about returns and stuff.
Okay.
And it's the same price. It's $3.99 everywhere. Do you're going to want to probably...
I miss you on the TV, man. When are you going to get back on?
I like the radio. I'm getting old and ugly.
Hey, we all. I'm 38, man. Trust me. I feel it.
How long were you in the Corps?
Oh, I was only in 3 years. I wound up doing two, breaking my neck, believe it or not. Oh. And, so...
Are you okay?
Well, you know... it's as good as I can be. I mean, I walk, I talk, I do. But, you know, it's just one of those things where everything has a residual. Every time you break something, you know, so I'm not complaining. Like my grandfather used to tell me, boy, don't get up like that. You're looking at the flowers, not the roots.
Oh, that's a good grandpa. Well, Robert, I appreciate your service. I'm sorry that happened, but I'm glad you have a beautiful wife and kids. And it sounds like your boy's doing great.
And I'm glad I can rely on you. I just wish you were on in my area more than just Saturday.
Well, we have a whole podcast network that is video at twit.tv. You could even watch this show. You can watch this show right now. We're streaming video. I'll wave at you, and you'll see immediately why it's not on the TV anymore.
Oh, sweet. Well, I will definitely go look then. Thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Robert.
One and many more years to you, my
You too. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, drones. 8888, ask Leo, the phone number, 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Talked a little more to Robert off the air. His son has learned how to pilot drones and wants a drone to practice with. They bought a $150 drone, but By the way, first of all, drone is a bad name. That's what we all call them. Quadcopter is probably more accurate. It's an unmanned vehicle. There's no, you know, it flies, but it's not autonomous most cases. It flies, you use remote controls, you're flying it from the ground. They're quadcopters because they have four helicopter-style propellers facing up at the top of each corner. And this technology took off, started taking off about, well, I'd say 10 years ago, I think I first saw these. It was the Parrot AR drone, French company called Parrot. Saw it at the Consumer Electronics Show about 10 years ago and was really impressed. Started taking off, and you can really give it credit to the iPhone because many of the technologies that were developed for the iPhone, accelerometers, GPS, small processors, once Apple started making them in the millions, they got the prices way down on these parts, and they got a lot of manufacturing sophistication in China how to make these, a lot of factories. Apple, when it first started making the iPhones in China, they had to make custom machines and do a lot of training. It was a big deal, but they got it working, and once they did, it powered a whole renaissance of technologies, including the quadcopter. And in fact, most quadcopters, you fly with a smartphone, so some of the brains is actually offloaded into the smartphone or the iPad. DJI is the kind of the big company now. They make the most high-end professional drones, big ones. They can carry very high-quality cameras used in filmmaking. A lot of the films that used to use helicopters, very expensive helicopters to get those aerial shots. And you see them in many, many films. You know, there's no car chase scene in any film that doesn't have aerial shots. It used to be helicopters. Now it's done with drones very commonly. You'll see drones all the time in every TV show because they're so inexpensive. The FAA does have regulations because drones could pose a threat to commercial aviation. Most drones now are so sophisticated that they have geofencing built in. They won't fly. They can't be flown too close to an airport. Licensing requirements for drone piloting initially were fairly strict. The FAA has loosened up. If it's a small enough drone, you don't need to get a license. It's probably a good idea to register it with the FAA anyway. The FAA has pages describing this. And there's all kinds of drones at all kinds of prices. My friend, Father Robert Ballasaire, who is a amazing drone pilot. We sometimes call him the quad father. He suggested getting a cheap, like $25 drone the first time I got a drone. He said, because you'll crash it. It's hard to fly initially. And boy, he was right. That first drone, I put the batteries in, charged it all up, got it all set up, went out on my back deck, put it down, stood back with the remote control, pressed the up button. Oh, look at that. It's flying. It's hovering. It's going up. 10 feet. 20 feet. Oh, come down. 30 feet. Come down. 40 feet. Come down. I lost sight of it. It was a little dot in the sky and disappeared forever. Never did. It's good I only paid $25, but one flight, that's expensive. I do not have the best track record with quadcopters. Next one, I spent a little more. Got the Bebop drone. And the Bebop, the whole idea of the Bebop drone was you can't crash it. Oh, now we're talking. This is the drone I need. Bebop flies itself. This is from Parrot, that original French drone company. Had cameras, had all sorts of sensors, collision controls. Flew right into the hill. Dead. It broke one of its little drone wings. So ever after, every time I tried to take off, it would just flip over and fly into the ground. That was it. So I said to myself, self, no more drones. But then a couple of years ago, my son and I were going to go on vacation. I thought we were going to go sailing in the Caribbean. I thought it'd be fun to have a drone, maybe get some great shots of the sailing ship sailing around. Oh, it'd be so pretty. And so I got a DJI. Nice drone, probably a $1,500 drone. I think that's what it was. But, you know, the truth is the more you spend on the drone, the less likely you're going to lose it because they have now, you know, at that price level, they have there's a button on the controller that says return to home. And it's got a GPS in it, and it remembers where it took off from. And you don't have to, you could take your hands off the controls. It'll just come right back to where it took off from. Return to home. I thought, I can't lose this. It has collision detectors. It can't fly into trees, can't fly into hills. This thing is great. And I did, and I was very careful, of course, because it was expensive. So I went to the park, my wife and I, and I practiced very carefully, fly around. Look, see, honey, look, it's just hovering there. You had a follow mode because it has a camera, and you could say, see that person down there? Follow. With persons me, you don't follow strangers, have follow me. And then I'm riding my bike or I'm walking and the drone's kind of hovering behind me, getting this great footage. That's cool. So I took it on the sailing ship, on the little catamaran boat that we were going to go, we rented in the Caribbean to sail around. And it was a mistake because I thought, well, you know, this thing, I can't crash this thing. So I thought, I'm going to get a shot of us sailing. That'd be really great. No, don't do this. It was a little windy. Of course, it's a sailboat. You know, you want wind. Took off. Drone's kind of wobbly in the wind. Oh, boy. This boat's starting to move. I'm trying to get it to follow us. And then what I forgot about on sailboats is in order to hold up the mast, they have these wires. You know, these guy lines. There's four of them attached to the boat. They're kind of thin and barely visible. I guess the drone didn't see it. I sure didn't. It hit one of those and pfft, it's in the Caribbean. My son came running over and said, I die for it, Dad? I said, no. Let's just do a little funeral service and we'll move on. So I haven't had a drone since. But my son, who did get the bug, I did get him another DJI. And DJI actually has a drone and he has not crashed it yet. I probably would, so hands off, Dad. It's called the DJI Mavic, M-A-V-I-C Mini. And it's really a good drone for beginners. It also is relatively inexpensive, $400. But it has many of the high-end features that the more professional drones, the GPS, the return to home, the collision detection. It's got a good camera. It does all sorts of cool things. And he's liking that a lot. But I'm not allowed. can't go near it. That is a good 400 sounds like a lot of money, and certainly it would be a lot of money if it were me piloting it into the ocean or the side of a hill or just straight up. So I'm not going to touch it. But if you are fairly careful and you know what you're doing, it's a really good starting point. So that's the drone I recommended Robert get for his son, the DJI Mavic Mini. A very, very nice. They've done a nice job. He was concerned, and he mentioned this when we were talking, that he'd heard rumors DJI might be banned in the U.S., and I've heard those same stories. And, of course, we live in a world where you just don't know. You just don't know. The Department of Interior has decided last year to ground their DJI drones. The Congress was pressuring them because, and this, remember the fight that was going on with Chinese manufacturers and Huawei and all that? I think a lot of that was a part of the trade war. I don't think that, and maybe, you know, the government shouldn't use DJI drones for important secret government work. But it's going on. There's a legal battle going on. There's this trade war going on. But even if they stop selling them in the U.S., they're a great drone. It should continue to work. I see no reason why it shouldn't continue to work. And as far as I know, it's still for sale. So there is another company that is suing them. Autel, AUTEL Robotics. They also make very good drones. They say DJI is infringing on their patent. So this is another one. This is a patent battle going on. And in fact, in March, trade court judge recommended barring some of the DJI, not the Mavic Mini, but some of the other DJI drones from importation into the U.S. That could be overturned. I'm waiting to hear more about that. You could still buy the Mini, and I think it's still a good deal. I think it's a good choice. And I also said, and I think this is true, his son wants to become a drone pilot. Learning how to fly the Mavic is a good idea because DJI is really dominant in this space. And I think they will overcome. I think they will overcome their legal challenges. I think the last I heard, the judge found that the patent claims were not infringed; they were invalid, and DJI was, as of May, I think, allowed to continue to sell in the U.S. End of May. So I think we're good. 8888. Ask Leo. It's complicated. It's complicated, I have to say. But I do think it's a really cool technology, and I think it's a great thing for a kid to learn. I actually got the Mini for my son because I wanted him to. He's using it for filmmaking. I wanted him to use it and become adept at it. It's very popular these days. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, riding high on the roller coaster of love. G. Scott from Finland, Minnesota. Hi, G. Scott.
Hey, Leo. Good day to you.
How are you, sir?
I am not bad at all. Just sitting at my desk getting some paperwork done here and thought I'd give you a holler because I've also been sitting around watching some YouTubes and I was just wondering, last week on your Twit podcast, you were talking about some advertisers that you recommended holding off because you didn't think their money would be well spent at this minute. And fair as you are, I want to be fair. So when I go to my YouTube and pull up your show, it puts an ad up there. If I click skip ad, does that hurt your
no
ad revenue?
No. So those ads on YouTube, YouTube sells its own ads. We have ads on our podcasts, and you can tell they're different because I'm reading them, right? Or on the radio yeah show, some of them I'm reading, some of them not. But on YouTube, it's YouTube sells them, YouTube collects the money, and then YouTube gives a little bit of that money to the person who makes it. Now, the video. Now, the truth is there are people on YouTube making millions and millions of dollars a year. They're a handful, but there are.
people making this. I think this eight-year-old making $10 million a year, something like that. I'm sure her mom is keeping all that money safe for her for college. But in any event, so there's money to be made on YouTube. We don't make a whole lot of money on YouTube. We put it there more so that it's easy for you to get to. But it's a few thousand bucks a month. It does not matter if you skip the ad. YouTube still charges for however, you know, the fact that you saw it. And actually, advertisers, I'm told, like it when you skip. Because that's giving them a signal that either, A, that ad is not for, you're not the target audience, or maybe their ad wasn't good enough to get your interest. And notice, a lot of those ads, they grab you right away because they don't want you to press that skip button. And they have, what, 8 seconds, 10 seconds to do that?
Yeah.
So before you can hit skip. So YouTube's position is, no, you saw the first 8 seconds. We made them watch that. If they choose to skip, no, not our fault, your fault. Make a better ad or make a better product, and you're still going to get charged for it.
Gotcha. You know, like I said, I just want to be fair. And
doesn't matter to us too much. If your most important thing you can do is just watch the show or listen, however you do that. We put it on YouTube just like we put it everywhere because we want it to be as convenient as possible for people to watch this show or listen to this show or all the. I do about, I don't know, I do 6 or 7 podcasts a week, and those are all up on YouTube as well as on our website, twit.tv and all of that. But mostly, I just appreciate you from time to time tuning in. I thank you for that.
Well, you know what? I do that, so I'm glad you're there to tune in.
That's all I can ask. That's all I can ask. Thank you, G. Scott. It's a good question.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think it's hurting anybody, Marquez Brownlee or PewDiePie, when you have to watch a certain amount of that ad, and I think YouTube, but YouTube's not is a little opaque about. How this all works, you know. They're not telling anybody exactly how it works. And what they're really not telling anybody is what percentage of that ad money goes to the creator. Not even the creator knows that. The person who makes a video gets a check, but there's no accounting. There's no, well, we had this many ads and we charged this much money and you're getting your 12%. There's none of that. You just have to take it or leave it. I think, honestly, the real benefit of YouTube, with the exception of the handful of people who make millions, the real benefit of YouTube for most people is I can make a video, store it there for free, distribute it to millions of people for free. That's pretty amazing. Until YouTube came along, cost you money if you wanted people to watch your web video. YouTube's giving that, and that's a serious value away. Once you put something on YouTube, anyone anywhere can watch it, unless National Geographic says, well, that's my copyright content, and pulls it down. But I'm not bitter. But if you make a few bucks on it, that's nice. But that's not the real gravy. I think the real gravy is that they make it so easy for anybody. We take this stuff for granted, but that's a miracle. If you were a filmmaker 30 years ago, you had to beg, plead, borrow, did anything, not just that was expensive enough to make the movie on film and get the crew and all that stuff. But then you had to find somebody to distribute it. You know, it was a very hard thing to do. Nowadays, you got a smartphone and YouTube. You're a filmmaker. I think in the long run, that's a good thing. That's an amazing thing. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Wow, wow. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo, the phone number. Thank you to, I was calling you Lady Laura. Now I know you have a PhD, so I'm going to call you Dr. Laura, running the music here at the program. She's doing a great job. Thanks also to Professor Laura. All right, that's good. Thank also to her colleague, Lady Kim, who is also doing a yeoman's job here. Dick T. Bartolo, Mads Madestrader, and our Giz Whiz coming up in about 15 minutes, but I'm going to take more calls before then, and that starts with Ted in Apple Valley, California. Hi, Ted.
Hello, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. I'll try and make this quick and brief. We're going to touch a little bit on drones, photography, and computers.
Wow.
Years ago, during my active military career, I started doing air-to-air refueling photography.
Oh, how cool.
Nikons and Hasselblads. It was very cool. I was very fortunate.
Were you in the refueling jet, or were you in the fighter that was getting refueled?
I was in the refueling jet. I was laying on my belly and passing gas.
Now, they have mounted Hasselblads, or did you you didn't handhold that?
Handhold one, yes.
Oh, my God. So you got your head stuck out the hole there?
Well, you're laying on your belly looking down at the aircraft, the fighter that's refueling.
Yeah.
And you can take photographs through the window there. Now,
that was cool.
In the one KC-135s.
That's so
on
cool.
The newer KC-110s, you sit in captain's chairs now, very comfortable with a big picture window and a beautiful view out the back of the aircraft.
Oh, my goodness. I've seen the shots, even video, of that nozzle coming out and coming out of the fighter and then mating up. That's pretty amazing. In-flight refueling is pretty amazing.
And the photographs you get from that are just...
Are any of yours posted anywhere we could see them?
In my office.
Well, someday put up a website. I'd love to see more of those. That's
great. Oh, sure. Yeah. I'll see about getting some to you. F-4s and F-111s, it's F-16s. It's a beautiful shot.
That's really something. And, of course, yeah, you're very high in the air, the beautiful sky, the horizon. Oh, that's lovely. Well, what can I do for you?
Very quickly, that's what got me started on photography was during my military career. And then now, you were just talking about drones. I have three DJIs that I use primarily for photography. I do a little commercial, a little personal work. And I'm at the point now, especially as we move out of 1080p and get into 4K video and higher res photographs, my 10-year-old desktop computer just isn't cutting it, and I'm looking for a laptop, preferably a laptop that I can do my video and photo editing on, running Capture One.
Oh, yes. All right. So Capture One's a really nice program, kind of a competitor to Lightroom and some of the other programs. A lot of people use it. I get a free copy with my Sony cameras, and I really quite like it. And I know a lot of people who are moving away from the Adobe Creative Cloud are very interested in Capture One. So you like it?
I do like it. And for Fuji users, I just bought a Fuji X-T4 with the APS-C processor.
Very nice. Yeah.
I'm very happy with it. I've had it for about a month now. But actually, Capture One is recommended for Fuji users.
Yeah, they do RAW very well in Capture One. That's the real...
Correct. I've been happy with it. But unfortunately, for the video part of it, both the video from my drones and the video from the camera, the desktop just isn't handling it. And I'm looking, Leo, at the Asus ZenBook Pro Duo. The only reservation I have with that, it's 5.5 pounds, but it's a killer of a machine.
And you're not willing to go to desktop, because ultimately any laptop's going to be a compromise in this kind of thing.
I want one place to store my data, and with the desktop, I find I'm constantly either having to transfer to a external hard drive and taking it with me on trips if I travel, when I travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas if it was on a laptop, it's all there and I could just grab my laptop and go.
Yeah, there is something to be said for that. Although I have to say, there are also ways to solve that with workflow. And that's one of the reasons Creative Cloud is taking off, because you keep your photos stored in the cloud and then you can use a variety of devices remotely. But I completely understand what you're saying. You kind of also, once you get a workflow going, you don't want to have to go back and forth from different computers. I'm looking at the ZenBook Pro Duo. They now are using the latest generation i9 processor. That is I actually have a couple of i9 systems in laptops. That's a really nice processor. They're using NVIDIA cards, also very good.
2060. Yeah.
One of the reasons it's so heavy. Well, there's two reasons. One of the reasons is because it's got that card and processor. It means it needs a lot of cooling and a lot of battery. The other reason is that goofy screen. It's got a... You're looking at the Duo, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Duo is called the Duo because it has a regular laptop screen, but then it has another screen above the keyboard, which I've never used. I don't know how useful it would be. It clearly adds weight, complexity, and cost to the thing. So if it's going to be more than a gimmick, I would want you to try it and make sure that it makes sense in your workflow. I mean, the way they show it, you'd have a palette of, say, the Capture One tools on the little screen, which would give your photo the full screen. And there's certainly something to be said for that. That's one of the reasons desktops are great, because you have multiple screens. It's such a novel design, and I have not played with it, that it's easy to look at that and say it's cool. It also is easy to imagine it might be a gimmick.
Do you have any other suggestions? What would be?
Well, there are plenty of
something like that.
There are plenty of really good, powerful systems with the same specs that you're talking about. A 10th generation i9, a big hard drive. The screen is, of course, the most important thing to you. They're using an OLED screen on the ZenBook, and that is fantastic. As far as I'm concerned, for photo editing, it really gives you a great look. But it does add to the price. And also, OLEDs use up battery. And I think you're going to find that's going to be the same problem, or a big problem on this, because not only does it have that OLED screen, it has another screen. So not only is it going to, we call a desktop replacement, which is something that doesn't have great battery life, is heavy to carry around, but gives you all the power that you would get. Laptop Magazine loved them. The review I saw last year was very positive. There was a lot of positive press at CES. I've never used that dual screen setup, so I don't know. I like Asus stuff a lot. I've always been very happy with my Asus PCs. And the ZenBook is widely considered to be, although not this particular model, the thinner ones are widely considered to be among the best laptops out there. I just don't know much about this one, because it's...
And aside from this one in particular, if you had to pick one that...
I like Lenovo, but for screens, yeah, I would look at another one you might want to look at is a Lenovo ThinkPad. They make a couple, the X1 Extreme, and I think they might make a X1 Carbon with OLED screens. Screen's number one for you, as you know. You can't do photo editing without accurate reproduction. And I think OLED screens are going to give you really fantastic. The nice thing about the Asus I'm seeing here is it's a matte screen. And I don't know how you feel about glossy versus matte. A lot of photographers have strong opinions.
I'm not really strong either way.
Okay.
The matte does reduce glare if you're in a
That's
hard
right.
light environment.
That's right. But it's not, I would say, not as accurate as the glossy. So that's something to keep in mind. I think I'm going to say go for it. I think it's a fair price. You're getting a 2060 in there, which is a very hefty GPU. Yes, but if you do get this, please call me and let me know about that second screen, because that's a really interesting idea. It supports touch. This might be the ideal photo editing laptop. If you like it, I might get one. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I mean, I don't know anyone who's owned one of these, and we've all been really interested when they announced this. It kind of, for your application, it makes a lot of sense, because the controls can be on that little screen while the full picture is on the OLED, which seems like it would be nice. I think it's an OLED.
You hit the nail on the head with the memory in it. It's about 3.5 hours if you're continually using it, but... In my case, I would either use it at home, plugged in, or I would travel to my hotel and plug it in there. I really don't need it on the airplane.
There's no problem with the power. I would put as much RAM in it as they let you put in. What is the max on that?
I think it's 64.
Good. I mean, you don't need 64, but the problem is I see a lot of laptops, because of the chipset limitations, limited to 16 gigs, and I don't think that would be enough for you. But 24, 32, that's going to be
somewhere in there.
Much
better. But yeah. The GeForce that 2060 you mentioned comes with 6 gig on board, and
that's awesome.
That's one of the better. Yeah.
Oh no, that's a desktop class video card. That's an amazing video card.
That's why I was looking at it, but it is kind of novel in the multiple screens, where I usually have two or three screens available to me, even at work, and the keypad screens give you that multitasking. So if you have a couple folders open, you can always access them without flipping back and forth.
I think it could be a really, really good workflow, actually.
I'm sincere when I say get it and let me know what you think, because I might get myself one.
Well, maybe when you come back after the fourth weekend, and don't run around naked. Not recommended.
You've been listening.
I've been listening, and I appreciate the air-to-air refueling video I just saw.
So oh, did you see it? That is so cool, and that is the C-135. That's a KC-10. No, no, that's it. That was the original. That was the one you flew. I guess I've
the KC-135.
KC-135. Yeah, a segue to a KC-10 video. That's cool.
Yeah, they just retrofit the DC-10s now, and obviously make them refuelers. But
yeah, that's so cool. How long did you do that?
I was on active duty for 21 years.
Oh wow, lifer! So were you a photographer the whole time?
Yeah, personal. You know, I didn't do it for the military. I did it for myself, but. I ended up giving up a couple of my photos, my larger format photos, to the Air Force.
Oh, that's so neat!
Because they wanted to use them for their own benefit.
Yeah, those Hasselblad shots must have been amazing.
Well, back then, two and a quarter format was the way to go.
Yeah,
we didn't have digital, so the better the negative, the better the quality.
Absolutely, those medium formats were amazing.
Yeah, nothing like today.
Real pleasure talking to you, Ted. Let me know what you do.
I will, Leo. Thanks again for taking my call.
Good conversation. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is on the lighted floor, his satin shirt open to his waist, dancing his way across in those beautiful patent leather shoes. It is Disco Dick D. Bartolo, the Gizwiz. Hello, Dickie D.
How you doing, pal?
He's doing the electric slide.
Yeah, exactly. I do it the battery slide now, because then it's wireless that way.
The LED slide.
The LED slide. Yeah.
Dick is Mad Magazine's maddest writer. He is also our gizmo wizard and joins us each week with a gizmo or gadget. What do you got?
First, I want to tell you the bizarre thing that's going on here for 4th of July. Okay, so the mayor said they want to have the fireworks, but they can't have crowds.
Right.
So this is how I understand it. Starting Monday night, out of the blue, at an undisclosed location, there is going to be
ahead of time?
No, because then they'll gather. Okay? So when you hear the racket, you run out and see if it's in your neighborhood. Okay, there's going to be a three to five minute fireworks display that they'll videotape. They'll do this all through the city.
Oh, so really, this is a chance to demolish some of those old buildings they've been wanting to knock down.
Probably,
yeah.
And then on the 4th of July, somewhere else, they'll do the finale after they show you all of the fireworks that they did in all parts of the city.
They show the videos.
The videos, yes.
Well, so wait a minute. They're going to do it not just on Saturday, but all week long?
Yes, to get these little three-minute clips.
I hope they get the word out that we're not under bombardment.
That's interesting.
Honey,
you're absolutely right.
I think the building next door is blowing up.
Well, they're going to be – it's a very festive enemy, because when you look up, it's
be very colorful.
Wow, those guys are doing it with flowers and a waterfall and butterflies.
That's bizarre.
Isn't that a bizarre thing? So so I don't have to go. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, because usually you go out. I know you go in your boat. You go out in the East River and you watch the fireworks come up over the other side of the
The fireworks are in the East River. I go out in the Hudson.
Oh, you go in the Hudson.
Look crosstown. Yeah.
You have crosstown fireworks only in New York.
Fireworks.
Yeah. So,
so I have a great gadget for parents to give their kids who won't brush their teeth.
Oh.
Okay, it's called Bright Brush. There's seven different games in here. Actually, you have to start brushing correctly.
There's games in the toothbrush.
Yes. So,
welcome to Bright Brush.
Okay.
Okay.
Press the button to choose your game.
I'm going to pick music.
Space Attack, Soccer Pinball, Dance Star.
Dance Star.
All right. Score,
okay. And then every 30 seconds, it'll tell you to change quadrant. And then you'll get a score at the end. I can see that I'm faking this, so I'm getting a lot of red marks because I'm not.
So you
I'm
get rust marks properly. For brushing. Now, is it an electric toothbrush?
Yes.
So it's vibrating.
It's vibrating.
And it's sensing and where you're, what you're doing with it?
What you're doing. It'll tell you now do another quadrant.
Change sides.
So we don't have to change sides. But then when the kids are done, if you want to be sneaky, you go back in and you click the toothbrush twice.
Yeah.
And it said they did a good job. They
did a so-so
job.
Oh, my God. This
job.
Is awesome. Oh, my God. And
it's just $20. It's called Bright Brush, and it's from a company you and I know well, Wowie. Remember Wowie?
Oh, I love Wowie. I'm glad they're still around. They've always made great, kind of silly, great stuff, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So this is the Bright Brush, and Wowie also has a line called Baby Shark, and they also have a Baby Shark brush. Oh, and there are lights going on in there.
Baby Shark, Mama Shark, brush his teeth.
Exactly. There's race car sounds, arcade, pinball machine.
Oh, my goodness. You know, this is the first thing I've seen that I think I wish I had kids again. This would have solved so many problems. I bet the kids look forward to brushing their teeth. Do you think it would work for a 17-year-old?
Are we talking about Henry?
No, Michael, I don't think he'll do it.
Oh, Michael, right. Okay.
They say five and up. $20 though. Is it a battery? You put a battery in, not a charger.
It comes with a battery already. And LEDs, blinking LEDs.
Which everyone knows Dick DeBartolo is an LED fan.
He might do it for like 2 weeks to make sure that he can get to all the games and to a score of 8 on all the games.
I should buy it just to see. Michael.
Yeah.
I got you a new toothbrush, Michael. You're going to love it. What the heck? He hates Baby Shark. I don't think he
does. Oh, he does. Okay, yeah, well, so then we'll get him that one.
Yeah, we'll get him
get
the other
one. Get the game brush.
Seven fun games. Space Attack, Soccer, Pinball, Dance Star. That's what you played. Punch Master, Race Car Rally, Rockstar Jam, and Arcade Legends for $20.
Yeah.
This is good.
And your teeth are clean when you're done.
Wow. Anything to help get the kids to brush their teeth. If you want to know more about this, go to Dick's website, gizwiz.biz, and click the Gizwiz Visits the Tech Guy. But all of his stuff from all the shows he does is on there. But this is, I think this is the prize winner for the year, Dick.
Yeah, it's very clever.
This is good.
It's very clever.
I know. Yep. I mean, it's tough competition with the the Insta camera and the glasses screws and the Snap-It eyeglass repair kit. And the knee pads.
That's the one thing you don't want. But they're still available. So.
But no, I like this. That's wonderful. In fact, I know some little kids. I think I might get a couple. That's really cool. By the way, when you're at the site, this is the time to play the What the Heck Is It contest.
Yeah, it's almost the end.
Yeah, you only have a couple more days to figure out what that close-up picture of a gizmo or gadget is. Dick's offering 6 autographed copies of Mad Magazine for the right answers, 12 for the best wrong answers. Now, of course, it's going to be by drawing if you have more than 6 or 12. The rules are online, and you're playing for a very important Mad Magazine.
Al Jaffe,
the special. And this, not only is it honoring Al Jaffe, who has retired at the age of 99, it's the last issue of Mad Magazine with any original content in it. Do you have a piece in there, Dick? Of course you do.
A piece from the past. I did a mad look at health clubs, and Jaffe illustrated it.
Were they all in masks?
No.
Changed a little.
It's changed a lot. Yeah. Even when the gym opens, I don't know when I plan on going back.
No, we canceled our membership. We're just going to stay home and work
out
there. It just seems safer. Yeah. Dick, stay healthy. Stay well.
Okay, buddy. You too. Happy 4th.
Happy Independence Day. And don't forget his website, gizwiz.biz. Lots of great stuff there, including some great stuff you can buy, like his book, Good Days and Mad, his memoir, which he'll sign for you, and all sorts of great gear and gadgets and stuff. And he's got a great podcast he does every week with Chad Johnson. Now in its 50th year, it's kind of amazing. Oh, I'm sorry, 15th.
15th year.
Oh, I misunderstood.
And mostly thanks to you plugging my website, I raised $1,500 for the Actors Fund.
That's great.
Because everything I sold, all the money went to the Actors Fund.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know what you're going to be doing on Friday.
You're going to be watching Disney Plus to watch Hamilton, I hope.
Oh, yes. See if it compares with, well, you saw it with
Lynn, right? I saw it with the cast, but it's such a great show, and it's going to finally be on Disney Plus starting on Friday. I'm going to be, I'll watch it over and over again all day Friday. It's going to be a Hamilton marathon. Dick, stay well, stay healthy. We'll see you
next. Thank you, sir. Yep.
Actually, in 2 weeks, because we're going to do a rerun on 4th of July. I'm not working on our nation's birthday. Are you crazy? Thank you, Dickie D.
I bought a cake. Okay, bye.
Was it red, white, and blue?
Yep.
Thanks, Lady Laura. Kim Schaffer, thanks to you for joining me. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a safe geek week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T, it stands for This Week at Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.